Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates the Haunted Harridan.
I guess you've all become pretty used to the routine that takes place when my office door opens. Well, just to be different, I may as well tell you about Harriet Mailing. Now, my guess is that from the age of about 10 upwards, she could have got herself a job any time on one of those old-time radio shows they used to play late at night. You know the things I mean? They open with some flesh-creeping music, and then this old witch screams and cackles away, nearly splitting her sides laughing, while she boils up a supper of newt's eyes and toad's feet. Yeah, there are no two ways about it. Harriet Mailing was the witchiest witch which ever was.
I'm worried about Aunt Harriet, Julie. I really am.
Well, I can't see what the problem is, Tony. I mean, I know your aunt has always been, well, a bit odd. I don't mean that unkindly.
Oh, I know what you mean. You don't have to apologize about that. Anybody would take her for a witch.
Well, witches have been a little out of fashion lately. But at least she doesn't frighten you.
She used to when I was a child. Oh? And that creepy old house of hers, oh, it still gives me the willies, even in daylight.
I suppose she wouldn't leave it for the world.
No. She's always said she'd only leave that house to die.
Oh, well, it's her house, if she likes
it. That's what worries me, Julie. Lately, she says she's been getting messages telling her she must get out.
Messages? You mean somebody's trying to force her out? Oh,
no, not that kind of message. You know, mystic messages.
What, spooks?
Yes, writing on the wall, she says.
Oh, I've heard of people having seen the writing on the wall, but never literally. What does she mean?
I don't know. But she's very upset about it. The last time I was up there, she was saying she'd have to go if the messages keep coming. And, of course, she's convinced she'll die if she ever does leave.
Oh, poor thing. I suppose she spent so many years getting messages from the other side, as she calls it, that she's probably given to imagining all kinds of things now.
I don't know, but I'd like to help her. She got a good offer for the house from some construction company a while back. I tried to make her sell out then.
Oh, but she wouldn't?
No. And I gave up urging her to when I saw what the thought of it was doing to her health. Oh, Julie, look, it's 2:00. I'll have to fly. My boss will murder me for being late back from lunch.
And that's how it all started. Julie had a luncheon date with this old school chum, a doll named Tony Mailing, and Tony blows down her ear about the troubles of having a witch for an aunt. At least, that's the way I figured it. Julie, of course, fell for the whole wacky line and came over all pensive on the score of this old doll that was being pushed out of her house by spirits.
Pete?
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to spend a night in a haunted house?
Oh, that'd be swell. A what?
A haunted house. Tony Mailing says her aunt's house is haunted.
Is that a fact?
Hmm.
Well, I'm glad you set me right on that, Julie. It's a thing I've always wondered about.
You have?
Sure. I lie awake nights just trying to figure out whether Tony's aunt's house is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Look, excuse me, but I'm trying to read through this report.
I said we'd go out there tomorrow night.
Oh, swell, let's do that. You what?
We're going out to Miss Mailing's place. Tony's worried about her.
What are you talking about? Isn't this Mailing Den the old harridan who makes like a witch?
Yes, and she's getting messages telling her to leave her house.
Yeah, I know just how she feels. I had a landlord once.
Not a message from the landlord. Spirit messages.
Spirit messages?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Julie, are you nuts?
Well, that's what she thinks, anyway. And I think there's something fishy going on. That's why I told Tony we'd go there tomorrow night. And she and her boyfriend, John, are going to be there, too.
Oh, now, isn't that cozy? And just what are we going there for? To lay a ghost or something?
That's right.
Now, see here, Julie, I am allergic to ghosts. Ghosts and me, we just don't gel.
A jellied ghost? That would be different. Anyway, you never know. The ghost might turn out to be a beautiful maiden in a diaphanous gown.
Oh, say, that's a thought.
With her head tucked underneath her arm.
Oh, that does it. Look, forget it, Julie. I am not making any dates with ghosts, male or female. They're just as likely to end up with my head tucked under their arms.
Well, what's wrong with that? You've one to spare, haven't you?
Oh, funny. You kill me. Now listen, Julie, will you let me finish this Roberts report, please?
All right, go ahead. I won't disturb you again.
Thanks.
Oh, Tony and John are picking us up here at 5:30. I said we'd go in your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a half hour's drive. I really would like to help the old lady. Tony says she's a dear, really.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pete, I'm so glad you're not making a fuss about it. I knew you'd help her.
Yes, what was that? Oh, were you still on that thing, Julie? Now, look, I am a man of very few words.
Yes, but you use them so often.
We are not going to visit any old Harridan. And that means we are not going to visit Miss Harriet Mailing. And do I make myself quite clear? We are not going. N-O-T, not. Like I said, here we are.
Well, it's nice of you to come along, Mr. Troy. I doubt if there's much you can do, but it'll make Tony feel better.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, John, how do you spell not, as in not going?
N-O-T, why?
That's what I thought. I must have goofed somewhere. Oh, there you are, girls. That's all the baggage. Looks like we're moving in for a month instead of only one night.
Oh, well, it's all right for men. But girls need all sorts of things, even for one night.
Yeah? Well, from the weight of your valise, Julie, I'd say you brought your own clanking chain.
Mr. Troy, you're a character.
Oh, ain't I, though? Say, Tony, how do we get into this mausoleum?
Oh, I'll ring the bell.
Oh, for crying out loud, that'll waken the dead for sure.
Well, the bell's one of those old Victorian contraptions with miles of wire running through the walls of the house, you know.
No, and you know something? I don't want to know.
Yes?
What? Oh.
Hello, Aunt Harriet. We've arrived.
Oh, I can see that, Tony. Well, come in, child.
This is my friend, Julie Summers.
How do you do, Miss Mailing?
Come in, come in.
Go ahead, Julie. Of course, you know John, Aunt Harriet.
Hello again, Miss Mailing.
Yes, I remember John. And who is this? Uncle Ezra.
Huh?
It's Uncle Ezra come back to us from the dead.
What?
Aunt Harriet, this is not Uncle Ezra, and he's not dead.
Only from the neck up.
This is Mr. Troy, Miss Summers' employer.
He looks like Uncle Ezra. Only now I look closer, I recall Uncle Ezra looked better than he does. Well, at least he did the last time I saw him.
Oh? And when was that?
3 days after he died.
And that's where you saw the writing on the wall, Miss Mailing?
That's right, but not on the wall, on the tapestry.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean, on the tapestry.
It's a lovely piece of work, don't you think, Pete?
A tapestry? Well, I'm no connoisseur, Julie. See one piece of tapestry, you see them all, as far as I'm concerned.
That tapestry has been hanging there for 200 years.
Oh, is that a fact? I hope you didn't strain yourself when she put it up.
Oh, Pete.
It's funny, you know. It never spoke to me before. Only these last weeks.
Well, there's no sign of writing on it now, Miss Mailing. Just a lot of guys in tin hats beating each other's brains out.
That's the Battle of Bosworth Field. The first Baron Mailing was killed in that battle.
I'm not surprised. Looks quite a Donnybrook.
If the writing comes again, I'll have to leave.
Oh, now why will you have to do that? This is your house. Not even spirits can push you out of it, Miss Mailing.
Oh, yes, they can. You dare not defy the spirits. But if I leave here, I know I shall die.
Well, come to that, we'll all be dead someday. But I'm sure Tony could get you fixed up with a nice little apartment somewhere in London where you could spend many happy years yet, Miss Mailing.
No. My life goes with this house. I can't live anywhere else.
That's why she wouldn't sell out to that construction company, Pete. They offered her a good price, but she wouldn't listen.
Oh, but I guess she will if the spirits tell her to, huh?
But where would she go if she has to leave here?
Oh, honey, I wouldn't have a clue. Well, it's me for the sack.
Yes, Tony and John have already gone up to their rooms.
One way and another, it's been a trying day. Well, it's time we said goodnight, Miss Mailing. Hear what? I was sleeping the sleep of the just, and you come... What? Hey, what's going on? What is that?
I don't know. But Pete, I'm scared.
Scared? What for? This place is supposed to be haunted, isn't it? It's probably just some old ghost having a ghost. Hey, wait a minute.
Johnny, there you are. Can you hear?
I certainly can.
Well, what is it? It sounds like a...
Don't say it.
Pete, at the end of the gallery.
What? Oh, no. It isn't true.
It's a thing.
Yeah, you described it perfectly.
Look, it's going down the stairs.
What are you all doing here? Oh. How is everybody standing out here in the middle of the nightfall?
Oh, Aunt Harriet, you scared us creeping up on us like that.
There's a thing. A ghost, Miss Mailing. Went downstairs.
Oh, that was just great Aunt Emmeline. She was murdered and buried in the cellar in 1844. That was before my time, of course.
Oh, you're kidding.
Pete.
Well, about the murder, I mean.
I never take any notice of Emmeline anymore. She's always complaining.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I won't be able to sleep anyway after that little lot. And I don't intend to let any old ghost fool me. Now, come on. Who's for a ghost hunt? Well, at least it was different. A little out of my line, or it seemed to be. But not without the charm of novelty. Nobody was game to stay alone upstairs after Great Aunt Emmeline had gone into her act for the night, so we all floated downstairs in a body. Now, I'm even starting to talk like a ghost. It seemed to be that everybody being somewhat shook up, the best thing to do was to find out what the heck had happened to that thing we'd seen, or thought we'd seen. And to keep everybody busy, I organized a wall-wrapping expedition in order to find out if there were any secret passages or anything that Great Aunt Emmeline could have disappeared into.
Well, I'm not going anywhere alone. I can tell you that right now.
You don't have to go anywhere alone. Now, you and Tony start in that room, and John and I'll take this big one over here, the one with the tapestry.
Where's Aunt Harriet?
She went back to bed. She said she needs a beauty sleep.
Yeah, she certainly does.
Oh, Pete, if you don't stop your silly cracks...
Relax. Now, go find a ghost. Come on, John.
Okay.
And if you hear a scream from one of us, come running.
I'll run, all right. Here we are. Hey, John, where's the light switch for this room?
Oh, it's way over the other side of the room. I know where it is. I'll go and put it on.
Okay. Don't fall over or anything.
No, I'll be all right. I know my way around.
Yeah, but not as well as that ghost. How are you going? John? What? What the dip? Who shut that door? John, did you? Open up, man. It's pitch dark in here. Are you there, John? Listen, will you do...
Oh, we don't seem to be finding any secret passages in here. Wonder how the boys are making out. Perhaps we should go and find them.
Hello there.
Oh, John. Oh, you gave us a fright.
Oh, sorry. I was just wondering if you'd seen Mr. Troy anywhere.
Well, no. Isn't he with you?
Well, he was, but then...
Then what?
Look, girls, I don't want to alarm you, but some very funny things are going on here.
We don't need to be told that.
What do you mean, John?
Well, you know I went off with Mr. Troy to the tapestry room.
Yes?
Well, the light was out, and I went over to switch it on.
Yes.
And something hit me on the head.
What?
And the next thing I remember, I was out in the hall, waking up.
What about Pete? Where's he?
I don't know. When I came to, I went to the tapestry room and put on the light, but he wasn't there.
He's in the kitchen.
Aunt Harriet, we thought you were asleep.
Oh, I couldn't sleep. I suppose I worry about poor Emmeline more than she deserves. I came down, and in the tapestry room, I found Mr. Troy.
What was he doing?
Lying on the floor. He said somebody had struck him a blow on the head.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's all right. I've bandaged his head with vinegar and brown paper.
Oh, he'd love that. Is he conscious?
More or less.
Oh, Pete.
Look, what's so funny? I get sapped by some sneaky customer and you go into hysterics.
What's that sloppy brown paper around your head? Well, you look a scream.
That's look rather funny.
Oh, well, I am assured by Miss Mailing that vinegar and brown paper is the best thing for bumps on the noggin. And Miss Mailing is okay with me.
Oh, that's a change. What happened to you anyway?
That's what I want to know.
Oh, John was hit on the head, too.
Oh? Where are your lumps, John? You look okay to me.
Oh, it must have been a much lighter blow than you got.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the question is, who was dishing out the KOs? Let's go and take another look at this tapestry room.
Oh, yes, it might be an idea. Coming, everybody?
Well, I'm not staying here alone, I know that.
It's very odd about that business, Mr. Troy.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Who switched off the lights again?
Not me.
Well, they were on when Miss Mailing found me. I may have been still in the daze, but I remember the lights being on.
Oh, but it's dark in here.
I'll go and see if I can find the light switch this time.
Yeah, well, let's not go through that head-knocking routine again.
That's funny. It doesn't work.
Well, what doesn't?
The light switch.
Oh, well, it must have blown a fuse. Pete, look.
What?
The tapestry.
Oh, for crying out loud. Writing. There is writing on it.
It's glowing in the dark.
Yeah, it says, Harriet, you must leave this house.
Oh!
Hey, what now?
Oh, the message. The message. The spirits have commanded. I must go. I must go.
Well, girls, got over all your creepies and crawlies?
Well, I was just saying to Tony how different it all is in daylight.
Yes, it is, rather. Funny to think that last night we were all shuddering and shaking and seeing ghosts.
Oh, it's not the ghosts that worry me. It's that writing on the tapestry.
Oh, because of your aunt leaving. Oh, I shouldn't worry too much about that, darling. She'll get over it. Oh,
I don't know that she will. She's always been so sure that she'd die when she left this house.
Oh, you wait till we get her set up in some nice little place in town. She won't know herself.
It's gone. It's gone.
Good heavens. That was Aunt Harriet.
Oh, it's gone. The tapestry's gone. It's been stolen.
Stolen?
That's impossible.
Oh, this is very odd. I'd better take a look and
no
see...
No need to take a look, John.
Pete, I was looking for you earlier. Where were you?
Oh, I had some business to attend to, Julie.
Has the tapestry really disappeared?
Well, it's not hanging on the wall in that room any longer.
Oh, Pete, what's going on?
Oh, that'll be your answer, I think, Julie. Inspector Caswell, or I miss my guess.
Inspector Caswell? Oh, what's he doing here?
He's bringing the tapestry back.
The tapestry?
That's right. I took it to him at 4 o'clock this morning. He didn't appreciate being dragged out of bed either, so don't expect him to be in a good mood.
Now that I've met everybody, I suppose we can get on with the business that brought me here.
My tapestry. Well, what are you doing with that?
Well, at the moment, I'm returning it, Miss Mailing. It's none the worse for the treatment it's received.
Inspector, if you don't mind, I'd like to be getting along. I have to be at my office by 9.
I think you'll find your work will wait, young man.
But it's very important
that mean it's very important that you get out of my sight, is that it?
What? John, what does he mean?
We will come to that. Now then, this tapestry that Troy brought me so infernally early this morning.
Pete, did you?
Sure.
Well, was I right, Inspector? Had the message been written on it in invisible ink?
Invisible ink?
Yes, Troy, you were right, and just as well, or I'd have you on a charge of disturbing the peace, getting me out of bed at 4:30.
Now, let's be quite clear, Inspector. On that tapestry are written the words, Harriet, you must leave this house, in invisible ink.
That's right. A special ink that shows up under ultraviolet light.
What is this? I don't understand.
What it means, Miss Mailing, is that your aunt here has been the victim of a particularly low trick.
Somebody who wanted to get her out of the house and who knew about her belief in messages from spirits wrote the message on that tapestry in ink that can't be seen in ordinary light. but which shows up in the dark under a special light. The light's over there behind that picture, Inspector.
Oh, God. Oh, we'll get it later. How long have you been working for the Parker Construction Company, young man?
What? I don't work for them. I work...
Oh,
for...
yes, you have your regular employment, I know. But you see, we've already been on to Parker, and he's admitted he offered you £1,000 if you could get Miss Mayling to leave this old house of hers.
John, is this true? Is it?
Yes, it's true, I'm afraid. Parker offered to buy this site, and Miss Mayling refused to sell it. He wants it very badly for a new development project. Pretty choice and extensive list of acreage, you know.
And John was in league with him to... Oh, you monster.
Oh, shut up.
Well, and to think he might have succeeded.
He might have succeeded if he hadn't been so busy hitting me on the head. And that made me mad.
No, no, Mr. Troy. It was Emmeline who led us down to the room at night. She must have been trying to help us. And as for you, young man, you're a disgrace. I don't think Tony should associate with you any more.
Miss Mayling, I'm with you all the way.
Don't worry, he won't be associating with anyone for some time. He's coming down to headquarters with me.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes, Miss Summers?
Pete, you may have solved the spirit writing thing, but what about the other ghost? What about Emmeline?
Emmeline?
Hmm.
Oh, that's simple, Julie. Emmeline's a real ghost, isn't she, Miss Mayling?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What? Now, see here, you didn't even want to come here in the first place. If you're going to get together with Miss Mayling to gang up on me... Oh, you'd better walk softly, Peter Troy.
As I said later to Julie, it just goes to show what you can do when the spirit is willing. Yeah, I said it to her, but I guess I shouldn't have. And I must admit that I was thoroughly ashamed of myself for 2 days afterwards. I usually do a little better when I make with the funny stuff. I guess the solving of a case I never wanted to get into, for a fee I'm not likely to collect from anybody, kind of went to my head. But I did get something out of it. A doll I can have a date with any time without Julie turning a hair. And you know something? Harriet Mayling is one of the nicest old dolls who ever rode a broomstick.
Walk Softly, Peter Troy, is an Artranza production written by Krissick Jenkinson and directed by Russ Reiter.
Mm-hmm.